quarterback, Matt Millen was talking yesterday that when it all comes down to in the NFL, somehow, one way or the other, it comes down to your quarterback. And the whole thing with Orton's injury kind of threw this thing out of kilter a little bit. Do you agree that's...
You saying, like, what, when you say this thing, what do you mean? I don't
know. This sure. thing by, you know, this rut, whatever, that you're in as a team, that's been perhaps the toughest thing about it to overcome. That's been the biggest... Perhaps.
You're talking about the injury to Kyle's ankle?
Yeah. That's one of the toughest things to overcome for a team.
I think look, there's no excuses for what we've done. It doesn't make any difference to us, you know, if we have one player injured or eight players injured or whatever it may be. We want to play well and we expect to play well no matter what. And I think that there's a lot of teams right now that are going through the same situation. You know, Roethlisberger had, you know, an injury the other day. I think there's been a lot of quarterbacks that have been dinged off and on during the course of the season. And you know, they don't cancel games and stop the year because you have an injury to that position. That's why you have a backup quarterback, and that's why you play good defense and play well in the kicking game and, you know, run the football and do all those other things well, because you know you're going to face some adversity like that. So I don't think that's the toughest thing about this. The toughest thing about going through any losing stretch is just staying committed to what you believe in and what's going to get you out of it. You know, we all know around here that we've won games a certain way, and we've got to continue to push to get that result again. And once we do, I think we'll feel a lot better about it. And I think that's regardless of anybody's, you know, injury status. And, you know, we've had a lot of games where guys haven't finished games. You know, but I think we're certainly not unique in the league.
When you're looking at another team and you see that one of the players has had a tendency to fumble no matter what the reason is there a conscious effort made for a guy to try to stand him up, take it away from his defense?
I think, yeah. I mean, you're aware of people who, you know, who have put it on the ground. There's certainly, there's no doubt about that. I think that... you know, sometimes you can lose focus on other things if you're trying too hard to do that in the course of a game. You know, to let's just take the ball off this guy instead of tackling him or what have you. But I think you definitely know who has put it on the ground and who hasn't. And, you know, and that's something that you want to be aware of, but you got to be careful not to overdo it.
Josh, what's your experience with how team player meetings work for a team?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, you know, if a team has a players-only meeting.
Like the Yankees?
Yeah, say the Yankees.
Okay. Yankees had a player-only meeting?
As opposed to the Brewers.
Okay.
Whatever you want to say.
All right. The Yankees have a player. I think that, you know, anytime that players want to speak to one another and whatever that may be, whatever those subjects or topics may be, and just make sure that they're on the same page. Communication is always a very vital part of our organization, of our team, of our game plan each week. And so there's nothing more than the communication between the players. And so if they feel that that's necessary and they want to do something like that, then I'm sure that Joe Girardi would let him do it.
How did Ryan's workout go yesterday? And in his particular case, is there a fine line? Because it's almost like another bye week after this where you might be able to give more time to heal.
Yes, you're right about that, and that the timing of this is a little bit, you know, had we had three extra days, would that have made a difference this week? Will we know the answer to that? No. So it doesn't make a whole lot of sense for us to talk about that. He will not play this week. You know, he's doing better. He's getting close. He's worked extremely hard to get back on the field, but I don't think we need to keep that a secret anymore. He did a good job yesterday at the workout, and it's just not quite ready to go. And I don't think this is the kind of week that, you know, you're bringing a player off of a fairly significant injury at his position without a whole lot of live practice reps and practice periods and day after day after day for him to get confidence in that thing. I don't think this is a great time or a great week to try to go ahead and do that.
How much has his absence affected you guys? Because is it coincidence that he went out and protection seems to be worse. You went on a losing streak. I mean,
I think that, I mean, look, I think we'd love to have every player that started the season for us and that we felt was the best player at that position to play every week. But like I said, this isn't a one-man sport. You know, this isn't there's other sports where one player could significantly impact you. But I think every team goes on without those kind of things, you know. Got whispering going on over here. Every sport has that, you know what I mean? And football is a little bit different in that we've got so many players that are on the field every game and 11 on every play. We need a lot more than one guy to do well, you know what I mean? And does that mean that you play exactly the same with a backup player in as you do with a starter? You might not. You know, it depends on the position. You know, it really does. It depends on the position. But we've played a lot of games this year with backup players in there. McBath played a bunch, you know, last week. Russ Hochstein's played a bunch this year at guard. And, you know, Columbus has played at tackle. And Sims has played at quarterback. And we've had a lot of guys do a lot of different things. And I think it's one of those things where you can't ever just say, well, we're expecting it to all fix itself when one player comes back, because you got the wrong mindset.
To clarify then, we were talking, when you said – Brian Harris won't play?
Yeah.
Brian Dawkins, is there an update on
that? Brian's doing better, so we're very hopeful that that'll be fine.
Was Ryan's absence a factor in the quick hook on Sims on Sunday?
Say it again.
Was Ryan's absence a factor?
You're talking about the left-handedness? You're talking about left-handed, right-handed?
Yeah,
or? No, we just, you know, there were a few things that went wrong on the first drive of the, on the first play where we got strip sacked, you know, and, but no, that's, you know, we got to do better.
Is Tyler your right tackle?
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. You're talking about this week?
This week? Tomorrow.
Yeah, he sure is. He'll be out there. Yeah. You bet.
A few people curious. Is Chris Sims still your backup quarterback?
Say it again?
Is Chris Sims still your backup?
Yes.
The run defense, you've talked about running around the blocks and all that kind of stuff, and they had a telestrator last night on one of the local deals, and sure enough, there were guys running around blocks. I mean,
what happened on the play? Wasn't good?
It wasn't good.
I mean,
is that really the key? I mean, it's not scheme. It's not, I don't know.
I'll just say this.
It is about taking on blocks sometimes, would you say, is a big reason for this run defense?
I think the running game in general is, you know, it's it takes a commitment from a lot of people on every play to do it right, because there's obviously the natural tendency to see the ball somewhere close to you and then maybe get rid of your guy or try to go around to make the play. But what ends up happening with that is you make the hole bigger, you know, and then you make somebody else have to compensate for your job because you weren't doing what they thought you were going to do. So instead of playing his gap, now he's playing his gap and your gap. And so then he scoots over to play yours, and now the ball goes behind him, and now we're looking at him saying, why'd you do the, you know. So the problem can spread, and the thing about that is you get 30 runs at you a game or whatever it may be on average, and, you know, it's not always fun. It's certainly not glamorous, but I think that if you take the approach that we're going to give them 75 yards on 25 carries, but they're going to be hard yards, and they're going to have to work for every one of them, and they're not going to have a bunch of easy yards and easy runs, then that's how good run defense plays. If you start doing it the other way, you can give up 75 yards and three carries, you know, and we've done that a couple times here in the last four games, and that makes it a lot easier on them, you know. And you work awful hard to get off the field on three plays, you know, for three and outs and those kind of thing, and then all of a sudden to turn around and let a team gain 30 or 40 yards on one play, it's disheartening. So it takes a commitment. It's very, you have to stay with it, you know, for four quarters, because if you let your guard down at one point or another, then the ball is usually going where you left. And that's what we found out, obviously, the last 4 weeks, and we need to do a better job of being committed to what we're doing.
Two more for the coach.
Obviously, you saw the Giants pass rush up close and personal in that Super Bowl there. They changed personnel quite a bit. What are you seeing from their pass rush now?
very, very aggressive style. Coach Sheridan, as a defensive coordinator, I know Coach Sheridan very well. I'm coach with him at Michigan State, and they blitz enough to make you have to defend it and block it all the time. But then when they want to send those four guys up front at you, you still don't have a whole lot of time to stand back there and hold the football. They got great edge rushers, Tuck and Umanora. I mean, they're probably as good as you're going to play in terms of having two guys coming at you on every play. They're physical. They change it up. They don't give you the same move every single time. They're not just a run around the edge kind of player. They can come inside, outside. They run stunts. They blitz them. So it's a great challenge. I mean, it's going to be a great challenge for us. I think you have to mix what you're doing. You don't want to just stand back there and hold the ball and let them know where you're going to be, for 60 minutes, because that hadn't really worked for anybody. It's not a good formula.
Josh, you guys didn't, on the flip side, you guys didn't blitz much on Sunday. The Chargers were a little surprised at that. Mm-hmm. Is that because is your blitz not effective anymore? Is that something within your, or was that just game planning against Rivers?
We always have the ability to do both. I think a lot of it, you need to take into account what they're doing too. I mean, they're doing a bunch of three-step drops and throwing the ball out there quick. Then, how much are you going to get out of blitzes, So, you got to try to gauge the situation in the game, what you think they're going to try to do, try to figure out what their game plan for you is that week and that day. And, then you need to adjust as you go. But, I mean, you don't want to sit in there and certainly waste a bunch of blitzes on quick throws and screens and things like that. If you don't think you're really going to get to the quarterback, then – the point of blitzing may be mute.